In the wake of the horrific massacre committed by an Australian in Christchurch last week, the ways that racism and especially Islamophobic sentiment have been normalised have concerned politicians and media commentators alike. The sentiment expressed by the gunman Tarrant, who murdered 50 Muslims at prayer, has gained momentum here in Australia, and we are now at a crossroads. Viktor Petrovich has more.
The massacre of 49 Muslim people at two different mosques in Christchurch has sparked a well overdue discussion in the gunman's home, Australia. The man, who moved across the ditch less than 3 years ago, is thought to have been heavily influenced by Islamophobic sentiment which has developed here in Australia's political and media landscape, as was alluded to by the Mayor of Christchurch, Leanne Dalziel, when she spoke to the ABC earlier today.
Islamophobia, it doesn't belong here. It didn't start here. It's been imported here.
Australia is seen as a hotbed for Islamophobic sentiment, with politicians and media pundits cashing in on its popular appeal among a growing group of voters. Muslim leaders, like spokesperson for the Australian National Imams Council, Bilal Rauf, think that this calls for a time of deep reflection across the nation.
The killer here, the terrorist here, was homegrown. He was Australian. He'd only been in New Zealand for a few years prior to this incident, and so I think we need to have a long, hard think about who we are and how we are perceived around the world.
And that thinking must be focused on the dissemination of sentiments and ideas that marginalise certain groups, namely Islamophobia. Professor Greg Barton, the chair in Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University, thinks that anti-migrant sentiment has flourished in Australia since colonisation. He says that Islamophobia has been prominent in Western democracy since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and that Australian politicians and media pundits have utilised it as a political tactic, something they may not have expected would culminate in the events of last week.
I don't think people in government and public life intended for these bad consequences to manifest in the way they have or even foresaw them, but I'm suggesting that if these are the unintended consequences, they're still the consequences. And of course, no one wants something like the awful terrorist massacre in Christchurch, but we have to accept now that words matter, and if we play with the language of that effectively demonises the other, then we run the risk that it has very bad consequences.
That demonisation of Muslim Australians has been brought into the mainstream, with people being elected to the Australian Senate on the back of anti-Muslim rhetoric and politicians from the major political parties speaking about the vote-winning potential of harnessing Australia's unease with Muslim migrants to the nation. Bilal Rauf thinks the normalisation of this language has the potential to rip our society apart.
We are a society which brings together people from so many different backgrounds, and our strength is in our unity, in our standing together and identifying as Australians, as a part of this society. And when you have these ideas that are, you know, raised by white supremacist groups and the messages normalised by politicians and media agencies, it strikes at the very fabric of our society and risks tearing it apart.
The harnessing of divisive and racist rhetoric has been building steadily in Australia over a number of years, but it can also materialise overnight in political debates which are seemingly unrelated to race. Refugee policy has been one such saga, which racism and indeed Islamophobia has continually been drawn into by politicians and media pundits in order to further their particular view, as explained by Professor Greg Barton in relation to last month's Medivac bill.
When you've got somebody as senior as a Prime Minister or a Home Affairs Minister saying we can't go with Labor's Medivac bill because people coming off Manus and Nauru are pedophiles and criminals, they will violently assault or represent a threat or even become a terrorist threat in Australia, when they know full well that that's not what ASIO and ASIS is telling them, that was just language for political expediency to try and drive a wedge between the government of the moment and the Labour opposition. But when you've got people at a senior level challenged by senior journalists sticking to this line that they know to be a fiction, then we can hardly be surprised if some of our more reckless senators come out with even worse language and there's a sense that these things are permissible.
And Bilal Rauf thinks that the snowballing rhetoric of politicians stoking fears about Muslim people in Australia can have profound impacts on individual actors, and that
it's only then a matter of time before you have someone like Brenton Tarrant, who writes this very considered and carefully constructed manifesto which picks up all of these ideas, which some of which have been, sadly, in our modern times, messages conveyed by some politicians, and the risk is that it culminates in the way that it has, which is tragic, and which strikes at the very core and heart of our society.
And strike it has. Our society has been rocked by this brutal massacre of 49 innocent worshippers and the discourse that contributed to it. Bilal Rauf and many in the community think that the time is now for the media and politicians in Australia to step up and to call out divisive and hateful rhetoric whenever it rears its ugly head.
We need to call out where there is speech or conduct which promotes hatred, which promotes vilification, which promotes division. We need to call that out and confront it, not just quietly tolerate it and, in some cases, promote it.
Spokesperson for the Australian National Imams Council, Bilal Rauf, ending that report by Viktor Petrovich.